preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness
from all across the globe.
This is Animal Radio Network.
You should have a better name than that, than the no-name contest, no-name giveaway.
Well, we've got this great package to give away, but we don't know what to call it.
Hold on a second. We're on the air.
Oh, okay.
I realize it came up fast there. could you hear that? Could you hear any of that at all?
No, nobody heard a thing. Nobody's listening.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I forgot about that. It's Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
You didn't let me say my own name.
Well, I figured they know who was who.
Oh, okay.
Being one's a guy's name and one's a girl's name. We're going to enter you today in the big contest.
The really, really, really big contest.
We're not supposed to call it contest? The giveaway.
Oh, yes.
The Animal Radio Network no-name giveaway. That's the official name now, is the no-name giveaway. And up for grabs.
So far.
Yeah, and this is just so far. This is just the beginning of the list so far. A cat condo.
Oh.
From Steps for Pets.
It's a really big condo with lots of little cubby holes. It's about 6 foot tall.
Yeah, we actually have one in the studio right now, and it's huge. It looks amazing.
All our cats can fit on it at once, and there's plenty of room and ledges and perks and places for everybody.
There's like four or five condos there, and three perches on top.
Yes.
Made of this faux fur. None of that carpet stuff.
They love it.
Top of the line stuff. We're going to give away one of those, as well as we have a Bissell Spot Lifter Power Brush.
Very nice.
And we're going to tell you how to get qualified for that today. You're going to at least want to write down this number, 1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405, because you'll need that number to get qualified.
Yes, don't miss out.
And save those ink cartridges, too, because that's another way that you can get qualified.
Okay.
Yeah, what a good start, huh?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Hi, who's this?
This is Brad from Chicago.
Hey, Brad.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
All right.
Good.
I got a little problem.
What is it?
Okay.
This four-month-old puppy.
Uh-huh.
It's just as cute as a Dickens, but I can't get him to stop biting. Any answers for me?
I think we can help you.
All right.
How long have you had the puppy? How old was the puppy when it was separated from its mother?
I don't know, maybe around 8 weeks.
8 weeks. You know, I think that's the problem nowadays is we are taking puppies away from their mother and their little litter mates a little too early, because when a puppy is with its litter mates and its mother, it actually learns how to inhibit its biting. And they usually do that around 4 months of age, because they're biting their mother and they're biting their litter mates, and it hurts. And they realize, you know, they're taught by their mother and their other litter mates not to bite.
I see.
So then they learn about 4 months of age how to mock bite and how to play bite.
What are you saying? This guy's dog didn't learn how to mock bite?
Yeah. I'm saying he's taken away a little bit too early, so he didn't learn that when he bites, it hurts.
Okay. Yes, it does.
Don't punish your dog. What you want to learn to do is learn to teach it to trust you. And when you're playing with him, make sure you're playing with a toy and not your hands. And you can play fetch with him and things like that. But if he does bite you, say ouch really loud and stop the playing.
Okay. And I've actually seen you do this with your cat.
Yes. When the cat gets rough and aggressive and bites my hand, I yell, ouch. He just looks at me and I walk away and say, playtime is over.
Almost like a timeout.
Yeah, it is. And he'll learn that, you know, every time he bites you, you stop playing with him. So he eventually learn. He may, you know, bite your hand and then catch himself and let go, realizing, oh, if I do this, he's going to stop playing. So
I see.
Don't punish him. Don't hit him. Just, yeah, basically give him a timeout. And if they're with their parents and their siblings a little bit longer, this is something they learn with their litter mates. So if you have like two, they can learn it, because they'll grow up together and they'll learn. But usually if you take one dog away, that you've got to teach him not to bite.
Yeah.
I was an only child.
And then
I bite.
Did you?
that could explain a lot right now.
Yeah, your mother didn't give you enough timeouts.
Hey, thanks for calling from Chicago there. We appreciate it, okay? I love your pizza.
All right. Go White Sox.
Yeah. Windy City there. 1-866-405-8405. It's Animal Radio. A few days ago, actually a few weeks ago, we had Bob Barker on the show.
Oh, great guest. He's a really great guy. Really big animal activist.
And he told us what his secret was to or is to longevity, why he feels so young at 83 years old. And if you remember that, that's going to give you a chance to get qualified
for the no-name giveaway.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that.
Oh, well, maybe next week we'll have a name for it.
Okay. But you're going to have to write down this number anyway, 1-866-405-8405. See this book you were looking at over here?
Yes.
Mrs. Ballard's Parrots. What did you think of that?
You know, it's something you're just amazed by, and you pick it up and you can't put it down. You have to go through it page by page, and each page, it brings laughter.
It's like a coffee table book.
Definitely.
Explain some of the pictures, if you will.
The pictures are from Mrs. Ballard, who dressed her parrots up in a variety of costumes. And not only did she do these elaborate little costumes, but she made stage sets, too. So you have, like, Batman and Robin. The parrots are dressed like Batman and Robin with the background. They're in their little costumes. There is, as I...
This is for real. All these little parrots dressed up.
They're for real.
They're alive. They're not stuffed parrots.
No, she's got Easy Rider. It's hilarious to see these parrots on these little motorcycles in front of a little bank. I mean, it's hard to describe. You really have to see the pictures yourself.
Now, she's no longer alive, is she?
No, she passed away, I think, in the early 1990s. I'm not quite sure when she passed away.
And those pictures were collected by a guy named Arnie Svensson.
Arnie Svensson.
Hey, Arnie.
How are you, Hal? Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Arnie Svensson, the author, or I guess the creator of a book called Mrs. Ballard's Parrots, which is doing very well on this many of the bestseller lists right now. A very interesting book because it's about a lady by the name of Alba Ballard, who was, I believe, a photographer. Is that correct, Arnie?
Actually, she wasn't so much a photographer as she was a bird collector, and she had over 100 parrots.
Wow.
And she kind of photographed the scene she made as kind of an adjunct to the actual art of making the costumes and making the sets and so on and so on.
And the scenes that you talk about are the parrots in various scenes that...
oh, yes. essentially, long story short on this one, she created costumes, very elaborate costumes, for these parrots, which she would put on them. She would make a set, and then she would have them run around the set and photograph them. Well, the sets are things from the 19... She was doing this from the late 60s, all the way up actually to the 80s, but the photographs in this book are reenactments from movies like Easy Rider and deodorant commercials, like Soft and Dry, and TV, Batman and Robin, and she would have a Batmobile, and she would have the Riddler in the background,
and
extraordinarily detailed work.
And these are, see Bonnie and Clyde here, are these the same parrots, or are many different parrots?
She actually, from what I can understand, she had, as I said, over 100 pet parrots, but only two or three would allow her to do this, but in allowing her to do this, they thrived. I saw a short film clip of her, and they would jump up and down and run towards the costume, she would put the costume on, it's fastened with Velcro in the back, and they would just stand there or lay there.
Well, they look very happy.
Oh, they were devoted to her, she was devoted to them, and I think it was a matter of attention. I think that they were so delighted to be kind of in her spotlight.
She was a bit of an eclectic person, it looks like.
I think that that's the appropriate term. She had not only the parrots, she also had hundreds of outdoor birds, everything from peacocks to pheasants to all the geese that would fly by would stop off at Mrs. Ballard's house, it seems. And she also had an ocelot at one point, a small bear.
Wow.
She had this natural affinity with animals.
She really got her popularity with the parrots through Elizabeth Taylor. Is that correct?
Well, not really. The way that I found them, the photographs, was through Elizabeth Taylor.
Okay.
Elizabeth's daughter is a good friend of mine, and she found them in her mother's house in Stade, Switzerland, of all places. And it turns out later, and Liza found these about 10 years ago. It turns out that Alba, in the 70s, sent these to Elizabeth because she was a great fan of hers and decided, in her wisdom, that Elizabeth would find these fascinating, which she she must have in some way because she kept them for 30
right.
years.
Is there a Cleopatra in there?
There's no Cleopatra that I've found, but she made hundreds of these, most of which have been are lost at this point. So who knows what she... I'm sure there is at least one.
There's a Sonny and Cher in there.
It's hilarious.
They are... I mean, even if you're not a bird lover, they are great to look at. It's a great coffee table book just to...
Well, that's what's interesting is that people, bird lovers, but also, oddly enough, art lovers have been buying this book. It's a very interesting kind of constituency that's going towards this.
Her birds appeared on David Letterman and Woody Allen's Broadway Danny Rose.
Right. And she was... She really... Alba wanted to be famous, and she was nonstop and unrelenting in her quest for fame. So she would send out hundreds of pictures and press packages and so on to various TV shows, always hoping that she would get on them, not only get on them, but perhaps somebody would create a series around her. And which, on one hand, you could say was slightly delusional. On the other hand... She really did beautiful work.
Yes.
Well, nowadays she wouldn't have had any problem, unfortunately.
Yes. This is the thing, is nowadays, and one of the points of this book is exactly that, is I think that, I know that when she did this, these photographs, a lot of people were kind of laughing at her. You know, here's this housewife from Long Island making these crazy bird things, and I'm trying to flip that around to say, hey,
she was
here's the housewife in Long Island making these marvelous bird things.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
She was ahead of her time.
She was so ahead of her time.
Definitely.
What kind of reaction are you getting to the book?
I'm getting a great reaction to the book. I'm astounded because I really did do this as kind of an homage to her, thinking, all right, there was a reason these survived for 30 years. So the press alone has been fascinating. I mean, the New York Times did a big article, People Magazine, Entertainment Weekly. All these unexpected venues have kind of come forth and say, hey, we really think this is a marvelous book.
It really
is. The response has been great.
It really is. We're gonna put pics up on the website because this is one of those things that you sort of miss on the radio. I can hold it up to the microphone here as much as I want. We'll put some pics up at animalradio.com. In fact, we also have some to give away.
Yes, we do.
Okay, let's give away four. Okay.
Let's give it five.
No, let's give away four.
Okay, we'll give away four.
I'm going to hold on to one of these. 1-866-405-8405. 1-866-405-8405. Mrs. Ballard's parrots. Arne Svensson put it together about a really somewhat eccentric lady.
You have to see it. You just
it
can't
really is one of those
it.
Things that you have to see throughout her life. Put these pictures together with these parrots. We appreciate you taking time to visit with us today.
Oh, it was great.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Congratulations, you've decided to make a dog a part of your life. If you chose to do so because you saw it at the pet store and fell in love, or you wanted to get it for your kids so they'd learn some responsibility, then you've just made a tragic mistake. Go directly to your local bookstore and read The Good, the Bad, and the Furry. It lays out the nitty-gritty details, the good, the bad, and the furry, pertaining to more than 100 different varieties of canines. Do you love to garden? Well, so does the Bernese Mountain Dog. But be careful. If you consider this breed, you should expect a backyard full of holes. And if you truly love the Basset Hound, then don't be surprised by the drool stringers flung on your furniture, walls, and ceilings. In The Good, the Bad, and the Furry, author Sam Stahl has consulted with dozens of breed rescue groups to learn the best and worst traits of the world's most popular dog breeds, so you can decide which is the right breed for you. The Good, the Bad, and the Furry is illustrated and available warts and all wherever books are sold.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
In color, where available. Stereo, where it's available. We had Bob Barker on about 3 weeks ago.
He was a really fun guest.
That had to be one of the big guests that you've ever booked. Probably one of the...
I don't think I can top it.
Yeah, unless you have that Oprah come through.
Well, I'm trying. Oprah, if you're listening...
That's what I'm sure she's doing right now.
Of course.
Actually, we do have many stations in the Chicago area, and you know,
there's always a possibility. She loves her animals. She has her two dogs, so
she does. She does. Anyway, we had Bob Barker on, and he told us there was three things, three keys to his longevity. I asked him, what is it that he and Dick Clark are ingesting?
Yes, they look great.
He's
they
at, what,
age.
82, 83 years old?
I think he's 82, going to be 83 in December.
He said nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
He said exercising.
Yes.
And he said something else. And if you remember that show, you're going to want to call us at 1-866-405-8405. In fact, you know what? I have a clip of it if you want to hear it so that you can, maybe if you don't remember the show, perhaps you could guess. Remember, go back.
Well, you're one of those people, you and Dick Clark, I don't know what you guys are ingesting, but you just don't simply age. I just found out that you've celebrated your 80th in what?
I'm 81 right now, and I will be 82 in December of this year.
You are, I hope I am as good sounding and as good looking when I get to that age, too.
During commercials, I talk with the audience, and they often ask me questions. And they ask me what I think is the secret to fight off aging. And I tell them that I think that it is nutrition, exercise,
And? What was that and?
1-866-405-8405 if you remember what the and is. And we'll get you qualified for the Animal Radio Network.
No name giveaway.
I didn't make up the name, okay? And so far in the giveaway, and it's going to get really big. So far we have the cat condo.
Cat condo from Steps for Pets.
It's awesome. It's huge. We have to put up a picture on the website. We also have from Bissell. There goes that harp. They go back and back and back. We also have from Bissell that very special vacuum. It's a deep cleaner vacuum. I'll hold it up to the microphone here so that you can. Spot lifter. Powder brush handheld deep cleaner from Bissell. We mean clean. Thanks, Bissell.
Boy, every pet owner should have one of those.
Yeah, it's one of those that are great for pet stains.
Yes.
If you know what I mean. And we're going to give that away with the cat condo. And we're going to keep making this package. We don't know
big,
how big it's going to get.
Big and bigger.
This is just the beginning. 1-866-405-8405. If you know what the third key to Bob Barker's longevity is, call us right now.
So you want to stop smoking. Well, here's what I want you to do. Go to a drugstore and take a stop smoking product off the shelf. Go to the cashier, tell them you don't want to pay for the product. You just want to take it home and try it. And if, and only if you stop smoking, will you then come back and pay for it. Most likely, if you've tried this, you'd be arrested. But as silly as this sounds, this is exactly what the Final Smoke free trial offer is. Final Smoke is a complete all-natural stop smoking system. And when you call today, they'll send you a 30-day supply of the program absolutely free. This program eliminates withdrawals, cravings, and includes a 30-day supply of Final Smoke capsules, a guide to living smoke-free book, an audio support program, a capsule holder, and a bottle of Triple Trim Weight Loss, just in case you're worried about gaining weight while you're trying to quit. To find out if you qualify for this free trial offer, join the tens of thousands who have quit for life with Final Smoke. Call 1-800-684-5908. 1-800-684-5908. This is a limited time offer, so call 1-800-684-5908 now.
Do not adjust your station. That's not static. It's a dozen dogs who got the number 2 flea control product just 1 week ago, and they're already scratching away. Now hear this. Silence. The sound of a dozen dogs who used Frontline Plus 4 weeks ago. So which dogs would you rather have in a cramped radio booth with you? Hey, give me back my shoe! Frontline Plus. It's waterproof and kills fleas fast all month long. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Yeah, it's flea and tick time, too. Okay, here we'll give you the tease one more time. Here's what Bob Barker said.
They asked me what I think is the secret to fight off aging, and I tell them that I think that it is nutrition, exercise, and
1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
This is Richard.
Hey, Richard, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you today?
Very well, thanks. Where are you calling from?
Ocean Park, Washington.
Ocean Park, Washington is actually sounds like you have an East Coast accent with that Washington.
Yeah, West Coast.
Okay, the big question for the big, well, we'll put you in the drawing at least for the big prize. And so far, a cat tree from Steps for Pets.
Yes, nice one. It's a nice 6 foot tall one.
A steam vac for Bissell. And the package just keeps getting on bigger and bigger every week. It keeps getting bigger. We don't know how big this thing gets, so stand back. The question is, Bob Barker was on a few weeks ago, and he said there's three elements to his longevity. In fact, it sounded just like this.
They asked me what I think is the secret to fight off aging, and I tell them that I think that it is nutrition, exercise, and...
Okay, nutrition, exercise, and what do you think the third thing is?
Well, no, seeing Bob all the time is probably sex.
Yeah, that's what I would have said first. No, that's not what he said. But we know it's on your mind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
well, thanks for trying.
Thanks for calling. 1-866-405-8405. My memory's no good anyway, so I can't remember what happened 2 weeks ago anyway. But I can't remember
yesterday.
I remember this one, 1-866-405-8405. Hi, who's this?
This is Jennifer from Montpelier, Vermont.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. You sound so perky. Hi, it's Jennifer from Montpelier.
Well, you would be too if you were in Montpelier.
Is it a nice day there?
It's beautiful.
Oh.
Good. Okay. We're just in Kanab, and it's sort of just like...
It's just sort of like the name, huh?
Yeah, Kanab.
It is a nice day, but it
is Kanab.
Okay, Bob Barker was on a couple of weeks ago, and he said nutrition, exercise, and what is the longevity to his life?
Probably a good shot of whiskey.
Woo-hoo! A good shot of whiskey,
No way!
Yeah, it's close.
He says, well, this is what he says.
Booze. I get rousing applause with that. Not from people who are going to exercise or be concerned about nutrition, but it's just that there are drunks there who are happy about the idea.
So yes, a little whiskey does it.
There
That's
you go.
Longevity
oh, wonderful!
Life. And you heard that from Bob Barker, and we're gonna sign you up. For the big contest, first of all, we're going to load you up with a couple of prizes for your cats or dogs. What do you have, a cat or a dog?
Well, actually, I have both.
Oh, both. Okay, then we'll put together a little prize package for both of them.
Okay.
And then we'll sign you up for the big prize package. Did you ever figure out a name for the contest yet there, Judy?
No, we're still working on it.
Still working on the name
for
the big
contest. Yeah, maybe we should have people call in and...
name the contest.
Name the contest.
We know so far a couple of the big prizes include a big cat condo from Steps for Pets, as well as a big vacuum cleaner from Bissell.
There you go.
More details as soon as we make them up.
Okay.
Hold on a second, okay?
All right.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
I recently adopted a beautiful new lab named Daisy. When I brought her home, she didn't get along with my other dog, Buster. So I tried everything to make them get along. I tried rewards. I tried separating them. And then I did some research, and I discovered Comfort Zone. Well, I plugged Comfort Zone in, and soon they were playing like puppies. I was really happy. If it weren't for Comfort Zone, I might have given up on Daisy.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. I just found out about this story. I guess it's been out for a while, but it's something that's caught my interest. Yofi was your cat, is that correct?
Yes.
And you rescued Yofi as a scraggly little kitten.
She was about 3 weeks old, lying in that beating hot sun brick walkway in Israel. She was so dark and covered with dirt and flies, I didn't even know she was black and white. People were standing around and just kind of like it was a spectacle. And that cat needed water. I gave her little cap fulls of water, and she was able to raise her head and lap it up.
And that, but that was the beginning of 13 years of a relationship that...
No, 11 and a half years. See, she died a year ago, February. She was 11 and a half.
Tell our listeners how she died.
I have a neighbor whose backyard adjoins mine, and he has had 2 years of being told by me, other neighbors, and Seattle Animal Control to keep his dogs on his property. He has two chows, a black one and a brown one. The smaller black one is the culprit here. But for 2 years, he only had one side of a fence to build. He's a carpenter, and he's always unemployed. He had 2 years, and every time he said, oh, I'm going to build a fence in a few days there.
Yeah.
And he regarded it with total contempt. The dog got out as usual. He was roaming the neighborhood. But let me back up. I hadn't seen the dogs for 2 months. And the neighbors and I thought, well, maybe they're living somewhere else, because I was very careful with my cats.
Mm-hmm.
And I came home at noon, and I had walked my dog Ginger around the park every day at noon. It takes 10 to 15 minutes. And Yofi had not been out like the others for a couple of months because it was dark and rainy and cold. But this particular Monday morning, February 9th, it was sunny and dry. And Yofi was sitting by the glass sliding door and wanted to go out. So I opened the door and let her out. You know, 15 minutes, I came back to this horrendous screeching. It didn't even sound like a cat crying.
Wow.
And I ran through the house, opened the door, and there was this Sheena, the black chow, who had Yofi by the neck or something, was kind of shaking her over by the fence. He had gotten in through a gap under one of the boards that I had a board up against he had pushed down. He had worked his way under there. He'd come around the block from his owner's house and come through my neighbor's side yard, squeezed through there, and squeezed through that hole. I saw that screeching. I ran over there yelling, and the dogs went toward me, and then he went past me toward Boots, who was sitting up at the by the kitchen door. And I grabbed him and threw him in the kitchen and shut the door and went and got the key and opened the padlock on the big wooden gate. And I tried to herd that dog out of the yard, and the owner was standing down at the back fence, and he was had climbed up on something, and his head was there, his face visible, and he whistled loudly, and the dog ran out the yard and went home. That's what happened. I went over to get Yofi, and she wasn't there. And I searched for 24 hours for that cat everywhere in my... I thought she was injured. I thought she had run and hid somewhere. I searched everywhere in my yard. She was not there. I searched in my neighbor's yard. I went around the block over and over, thinking in panic maybe she ran out into the street and got hit by a car. My neighbor found her the next day. She was 3 feet from where the dog had attacked her. She had crawled through that hole and was scrunched up against the fence, and she was not black and white. She was black and brown and covered with dirt and blood.
Aww.
And she was dead.
Aww.
And I took her body down there with my neighbor lady and knocked on the door, and the roommate said, well, he's up the street, and shut the door. And I went down there twice. He had the opportunity, and he never apologized.
So you took the matter to court?
I had, what was my option? Burn his house down?
Well, we don't want to do that.
You can't imagine the emotional thoughts I had. And I did get a counselor, and I did call a lawyer. Where I took Yofi to be cremated, she said, I need to call a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And so the
matter eventually went to court?
Yes. Well,
by the way, was Adam Karp your lawyer?
Yes.
Okay. Good friend of Animal Radio.
Well, he is wonderful.
Yeah, what did he do?
Well, it took over a year, obviously, but I sent him all the pictures, and I wrote out the entire story of Yofi from day one to the last day. And Wallace Gray was summoned to court several times regarding the violation of his dog running loose, mm-hmm. and he always failed to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And the police had to come get him, and according to the papers, he got away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But they finally got him to court, and he did put 2 weeks in jail for ignoring summons.
Mm-hmm. What else?
They fined him $5,000 and a year in jail suspended. The point being that he didn't pay a nickel. He didn't pay any fine. His 2 weeks in jail that he lets everyone know about wasn't for his dog killing Yofi. It was for ignoring court summons.
Mm-hmm. So what did Judge Lind finally decide?
This was a week ago Monday, and we were about the sixth or seventh to be heard, and she said $15,000 for intrinsic value, and it was a total of $45,000, she said.
Here's what I have. I have $30,000 for the replacement value for the loss of your cat and $15,000 for emotional distress, $90 to recoup the cost of having Yofi cremated, $80 in medical expenses, and $24.12 in interest. Does that sound about right?
Yes, I think it's $44.80, something like
that. How does somebody come up with a replacement value for a cat?
Well, I don't know. If your child is murdered by someone, is there a replacement value?
No,
I don't understand how anyone can come up with.
Well, even though we don't understand how they came up with it, we are just glad to see that they do recognize the value of a cat.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
No, you don't agree with that?
I think they've underestimated the value of a cat.
Well, I think it's a small stepping stone. I think it's a foot in the right direction.
It's a major step forward.
Yes, it is. We're not there yet, but at least they're recognizing it.
They have to recognize it's too bad money is the only way you can get this across. But people have to learn that animals have a right to live a decent life. And they have feelings. And you bond with them, and you're responsible for them, and you should take care of them. And I will never see a nickel, and you know it.
Yeah.
But the point is that it makes a statement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a survey done.
Yeah, somebody did the survey, do you think the pet's life is worth more than $45,000, and that the judge made the right decision. 37% said the judge did make the right decision. 40% said no, the amount's too high, and 23% said not worth a monetary judgment at all. Of course, I would imagine that you probably think Yofi's life is priceless. And that
there's no amount of money.
Yeah.
No.
You know, if someone steals my TV, that's worth what, $500? We're not talking about a material object. It's not property.
Right, but at least we're headed in the right direction.
I'll have to tell you something else. I have learned through millions of phone calls that there are a lot of people out there who are really caring, kind people and are very, very pleased that I did get to stand up and defend Yofi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Paula, I appreciate you taking time to visit with us today.
Oh, I'm grateful for your interest.
Hold on 1 second. We just found out a couple of minutes ago her attorney is a good old friend of Animal Radio, Adam Karp. Adam, how are you doing?
Great. Hope you're well.
It seems like it's been a few months since we spoke to you, and this came out of the woodwork about Paula Romer picking up $45,000.
That's right.
Now, do you think that'll happen?
Well, it can always be hopeful.
Is this sort of a milestone? Is this going to change the way things are thought?
Well, we have to be clear about what level we're speaking of. You know, this is a trial judge's decision. It was not a jury verdict. It was a judge making a decision based on the evidence she had before her when the defendant defaulted, meaning he basically ignored the lawsuit.
Uh-huh.
So it doesn't have any precedent-setting value in the sense that I can show her decision to other judges and say, look, you have to do exactly what she did. However, what it does do is hopefully will inspire some confidence in other judges to award really the true value of our animals.
That brings up one point, because you say true value. How do you come up with, in this particular case, Yofi was worth $30,000 in replacement?
Well, you know, in Washington State, and I imagine that the concept is pretty similar state by state, when you know, animals are regarded as property, personal property under the law. And the typical test that's used is, well, if there's a fair market value, that's what you get. If there's not a fair market value and you can replace or reproduce the piece of property, then you get the replacement or reproduction value. But if there's no market value and you can't replace or reproduce, such as the case here, then you get the intrinsic or the peculiar or the actual value, which is sort of how the courts refer to it.
I still don't understand how that's determined in this particular case, the $30,000.
That is a mystery, because it's similar to how do you value human life.
Yes.
In a wrongful death. There's really no... Certainly people bring in economists to try to compute future, you know, income loss. You know, so if you've lost a wage-earning spouse or partner, you know, they could conceivably have brought in certain money or maybe had promotions. And so you end up having an economist testify. And, of course, with non-human animals, unless they're going to be on... you know, a TV show or something, most people who have household companions, they're not bringing in money.
Right.
So really, the court is going to look to the nature of the bond that was destroyed. And the way I've described it is, look, you know, every animal, in a sense, is similar because there's a flesh value, for lack of a better term, that we attribute to it, like in the classifieds. If you're not going to adopt an animal, you know, if you choose to buy one, yeah, of course, there's buying and selling dogs and cats all the time.
Uh-huh.
But as we all know, you know, the cat or dog that you first meet on day one is not the cat or dog you know 5 or 10 years down the road.
Nope.
And that under the skin kind of value or relationship brews and increases over time. And here we had 12 years.
Wow. We hope that this is a step in the right direction.
Well, especially for cats. I mean, you know, the typical case involves a dog. And I'm sure your listeners understand the prejudice or cultural bias toward dogs versus cats and the sort of disbelief among folks who really don't know how to share their lives with cats, believing that cats are aloof and you can't have a bond with them and they're certainly not man's best friend, as we've always referred to dogs as.
Uh-huh.
So, but I think this sort of justifies or at least brings up the value of a cat in the eyes of the law comparatively to a dog.
Definitely.
Very good. Adam Karp, what's your website?
Oh, animal-lawyer.com.
Animal-lawyer. No, I'm sorry. Animal-lawyer.com.
That's right.
And we'll put a link from animalradio.com. Adam Karp, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with more Animal Radio. Meantime, get your fix at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Every once in a while, there comes along a special group of animal lovers that stands strongly in defense of the voiceless. Animal People is that newspaper for people who really care about the animals. Animal People's published 10 times yearly. The publisher is a nonprofit corporation dedicated to exposing the existence of cruelty to animals and to informing and educating you so that animal lovers worldwide can eliminate such cruelty. Your subscription is $24 a year. Get Animal People's fair and accurate investigative reporting from the industry watchdog. Visit our website at www.animalpeoplenews.org. That's www.animalpeoplenews.org to subscribe to the news for people who care about animals. Animal People. Subscribe today at www.animalpeoplenews.org.
Congratulations, you've decided to make a dog a part of your life. If you chose to do so because you saw it at the pet store and fell in love, or you wanted to get it for your kids so they'd learn some responsibility, then you've just made a tragic mistake. Go directly to your local bookstore and read The Good, the Bad, and the Furry. It lays out the nitty-gritty details, The Good, the Bad, and the Furry, pertaining to more than 100 different varieties of canines. Do you love to garden? Well, so does the Bernese Mountain Dog. But be careful. If you consider this breed, you should expect a backyard full of holes. And if you truly love the Basset Hound, then don't be surprised by the drool stringers flung on your furniture, walls, and ceilings. In The Good, the Bad, and the Furry, author Sam Stahl has consulted with dozens of breed rescue groups to learn the best and worst traits of the world's most popular dog breeds, so you can decide which is the right breed for you. The Good, the Bad, and the Furry is illustrated and available warts and all wherever books are sold.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Time is going by again. Before we meet with Darlene Arden, I want to remind you we're still collecting your cartridges, your inkjet cartridges, and your laserjet cartridges, as well as, what else are we collecting?
Cell phones.
Oh, the cell phones. I can't forget those.
Everything but Epson's.
Yeah, well, Epson doesn't make a cell phone, but if they did make a cell phone.
It would be disposable. Yeah, we wouldn't want it.
We wouldn't want it anyway, but we are collecting those inkjets. Send them to us. They're worth at least $2 a piece to each of us, one of those. And you can actually call us at 1-866-405-8405 and request a free postage paid envelope. I can't talk today. We'll send you one of these envelopes. You put the cartridges in the envelopes and send them back. Then you don't even spend a penny and you save our landfills.
There you go.
So 1-866-405-8405. We'll send you the package and then you get them on back to us. We get the money and more educational programming as well as adoption events can happen because of your help. 1-866-405-8405. If you send us 6 of those, we'll get you qualified for the big Animal Radio Network No Name giveaway, which right now has a beautiful, it looks like a 6-story condo, cat condo. It's huge, as well as a Bissell Spot Lifter Power Brush handheld deep cleaner. I'm holding them up to the microphone.
Wow.
Yeah, they are pretty nice. And this package is only going to get bigger. And Darlene Arden, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Hal. Contemplating that condo, by the way.
Oh, it's beautiful. We have one here in the studio, just like it.
Oh, I'll bet Amy would love it. She and I could move into it together.
It barely fits in here.
Yes, it's huge.
Tell us. We're going to talk about puppy-proofing your radio studio or your home.
Absolutely. Puppy-proofing, it also works as kitten-proofing if you have one of those as well.
Okay.
You want to patrol the house just as you would if you were bringing a new baby home. If you have children and they have small toys, you know how they have those little itty-bitty parts?
Yes.
And little soldiers and little cars. Well, get those off the floor because if your puppy picks them up and swallows them, you're off to the vets for surgery.
Ooh, yeah, not so good.
They get
not
stuck.
Not good. Puppies need to chew. They're teething just like any baby. Tape all electrical cords to the wall. Same for kittens. Somebody came to me recently needing advice. What were they going to do? Their cat was chewing on an electrical cord, and they were terrified, as well they should be, because cats have been electrocuted like this.
Are there any kind of special covers for animals, electrical outlet covers?
Same thing you'd use for babies. Also, get all of your cleaning products up and away from the floor or any cabinets that they can reach, because if they get in and ingest that, uh-oh.
Yeah.
A dead puppy or kitten is not a fun companion.
No, it isn't.
And my cat learned how to open the cupboards.
I was just going to say that. Judy, you took the words out of my mouth, especially polydactyls.
Yes.
You know, they've got those. You want to talk about opposable thumbs? They can just open
close.
The food and kick you out of the house. They will get into the cabinets, into the drawers. Somebody told me who trained cats for commercials and films that she had one that she had to train to open cabinets.
Uh-huh.
And the cat, of course, lived with her. Well, she had to buy locks for her entire kitchen.
Not good.
No, it was all totally padlocked. You want to make sure that there's no string, no paper clips on the floor. Anything a puppy or a kitten can pick up, it will swallow. Or an adult, if they're curious. Adult cat or dog, not adult human. I'm not responsible for them.
Well, I live with Hal here in the studio.
Okay,
I'm not saying a thing.
We have 30 seconds left, so give us your best 30 seconds here.
Get everything off the floor if it's small. Once cats start to swallow, they can't stop. You can't get it out. One of the best things you can teach your dog immediately is trade you. Have them trade for a higher value treats. You can get it out of their mouth.
That's a great tactic, by
yes,
the way.
Yes.
Yeah, you always train for an alternate behavior because they can't get into trouble if you can get something away from them.
Very good. Darlene Arden, what's the website?
www.darlenearden.com, DarlenEArden. Lots of articles up there, lots of stuff.
Beautiful. Check it out. It's a great website. Plus, we have a link from animalradio.com. Don't forget, if you get yourself an animal this week, to spay or neuter. Yeah,
yes.
There's no need to have any kinds of animals around here that to have their parts still. It's a waste. That's what it is. There's too many animals being put to sleep.
Plus, it's healthier for your animal.
And if you do decide to get an animal this week, don't go out and buy one. Even if you're looking for a specific breed, you can get whatever specific breed you're looking for at a breed rescue, can't you, Darlene?
Absolutely. Go to akc.org and check out the individual breeds. There's a breed rescue person listed for each breed.
There you go. Yeah. You gave me shivers. The hairs on the back of my spine are standing up after that endorsement.
And the same thing with cat rescue. If you want a purebred cat, there are purebred cats out there looking for new homes.
There's just no reason to pay any kind of breeder or to spend any kind of time trying to procreate an animal because there's too many animals being put to sleep. With your help, we can put an end to that. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourself a great week. We'll see you next week right here on Animal Radio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
Animal Radio is brought to you by Frontline Plus. Say goodbye to fleas and ticks.
1-866-405-8405. Like I said, this is my favorite part of the show.
You really like this part, don't you, when callers call in?
Well, because they do the work. And it's
well, wait
fun.
A minute. We have to answer their questions. That's work.
Oh, you have to answer their questions.
Yeah.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Benny.
Police station. I'm sorry. No, Animal Radio. Hi, Benny. How are you doing?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
San Luis Obispo.
And what is your question for today?
I'd like to know if there's a way I could teach my dog to use the restroom on command.
Use the restroom, like the bathroom or like public restroom?
Bathroom.
Yeah, you know how I know a lot of times when you go places with your dog, it's like going with kids, and as soon as you get in the car, they got to go to the bathroom. But there's hope. There is a way you can actually teach your dog to go to the bathroom on command.
How's that?
What you do is when you take him outside and he goes to the bathroom, you want to find a word to associate it with. You can say, like, go potty, do your business, or, you know, attaboy, or even hurry up. And when the dog goes to the bathroom, you say those words after he goes to the bathroom and give him a treat. And
so he starts to associate those words with the treats.
Yeah, so you start doing it every time he goes out.
And it could be any word. It could be like...
Yeah, but you got to keep the same word over and over.
Okay.
And when the next time you take him out, after a few times, he goes and you give him the word. Next time when you go out, you say the word before he goes.
Oh, okay.
And then he'll learn, that means if I go potty, I get a treat.
You'll have him going potty left and right there.
Yeah, you just got to be careful what you say, because as soon as you say go potty, you better have a pocket full of treats.
Yeah, there you go. Benny, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Benny.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'd say attaboy, though.
No, because everybody else will come up and say, oh, hey, good boy, attaboy. He'll go all over him.
Hi, Merritt.
Hello.
How you doing?
Well, how's my sound quality?
Your sound quality is amazing, as always. You sound like you should be in radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Merritt Clifton, the editor of Animal People newspaper. Of course, if you don't know by now, Animal People is the leading independent newspaper providing original investigative coverage of animal protection worldwide. And you guys aren't affiliated with any entity whatsoever except yourselves. So everything that you read within this paper, you can actually believe. You know it's true, right, Merritt?
Well, we certainly try for that.
Okay. And you're sort of a watchdog. We think of you as the watchdog of the industry, and I noticed you did a report just recently on the Ontario bans of pit bull terriers. What's going on there?
Well, we actually have two parallel situations. The other one is in Denver, and that just broke and is in our May edition that just came off the press less than 12 hours ago.
Don't tell me they're doing this in Denver now.
The Denver law has been on the books since 1989. It was enforcement was suspended in May of last year as a result of a state law that was passed that held that cities cannot have breed-specific legislation in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
The city then took that to court as a usurpation of the authority given by the state constitution to cities, towns, and counties, and won that case. Having won that case, with the state having abandoned any further appeals, They then resumed enforcement effective on May 9 after a two-week grace period for anybody who had acquired a pit bull in the year of non-enforcement to remove the pit bull from the town by adoption, relocation, whatever else. They picked up on the first day of enforcement 12 pit bulls who six were owner surrenders and the other six were dogs that someone had complained about. And for that reason, they knew the dogs were there.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because Denver is known for being an animal pet-friendly city.
Yeah.
And to have this kind of legislation.
Well, I strongly favor it. I very strongly favor it.
Tell us why.
Well, the first thing is the pit bull problem does not respond to the same economic factors as all other breed overpopulation problems. And currently, pit bulls coming into U.S. animal shelters have approximately a 93% euthanasia rate because they are uninsurable adoptions in most locations. They account, they're less than 5% of the total U.S. dog population, but account for more than 50% of the actuarial risk. That's payout in insurance cases.
Wow.
And these are only insured dogs. This doesn't include your fighting dogs and dogs raised by people who have no homeowners or renters insurance. So when you're looking at just the insured population, you're really looking at the segment that's cared for as any other U.S. pet normally is.
Now, I just recently read about pit bulls being one of the best breeds for children to have as a pet.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If you look at the actuarial risk again, which is the severity of the damage compared to the number of insured dogs, and you see that one breed is accounting for roughly half of the total number of attacks, including more than half of the total number of attacks on children. It's obviously not, and more than half of the fatalities on children. It's obviously not a good breed to be around children.
But that's not the fault of the dog. It's the people who have trained these animals to.
No, that's not true either.
No?
That's one of the things that's most commonly said. But when you have a dog that's exceptionally strong and capable of killing with the first bite, which most dogs are not, that multiplies the risk factor.
Are there any other breeds like this that you feel so strongly about?
Well, I was starting to explain that the pit bull has a totally different economic framework than most other dogs. In most dogs, when the population, the pet population is saturated, and there's no longer any money in breeding, whether it's a Chihuahua or a Dalmatian or any of the other fad breeds we've seen go through. So the breeders stop turning them out. But in the case of the pit bull, there's this huge underground market for disposal of pit bulls in dogfighting.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes more like breeding of chickens and pigs than breeding other types of dog. And the pit bull fighters thrive on there being a huge overpopulation of pet pit bulls who are then very readily available through free-to-good home or shelter adoption in some cases. Or there was a number of cases, especially in California, where so-called pit bull rescues were actually fronts for dogfighting rings. In one case, a couple named Mercedes and Cesar Cerda, who are now in prison, had half a dozen pit bull rescue organizations set up all the way from San Diego to Sacramento, and they were taking in hundreds of dogs a year, who were then used in dogfighting. They weren't raising or breeding the dogs. They were just taking them free to a good home from people who had them for 6 months or a year and could no longer handle them and were looking for some way to give them up. Similar cases have come up in New Jersey, a few other places.
Now, banning them from Denver and in other cities, isn't that going to put them back into the hands of the fighters?
It means that they're not going to be bred in the first place. It means there's not a market where you can advertise your pit bulls for sale and turn them out of a backyard breeding operation.
At least not legally.
Now, last year I did a survey of major metropolitan areas, 23 major metropolitan areas, because last year, for the first time in more than 30 years, almost 35 years, we actually had a rise in the number of dogs who were killed in U.S. animal shelters. Now, that struck me as being unusual enough that I wanted to find out more about what dogs were being killed in shelters.
Right.
So I surveyed 23 major metropolitan areas where they did keep some breed-specific data on what dogs they were receiving and killing.
What did you find out?
93% of the pit bulls were being killed. And I also found that there was a 500% increase in the number of pit bulls coming in just since the year 2000. So we've got a humongous population explosion of these guys, and they're the first ones that suffer. They have an average longevity, as best I could tell, of about 18 months. So the point, as with any facet of pet overpopulation, is you've got to stop the breeding. Mm-hmm. But when you have a situation where the breeding cannot be stopped by the same market forces that stop the overproduction of other breeds, then you have to have something that's breed-specific to that breed. Denver stood out as being unique. Denver was the only one of these 23 major metropolitan areas which did not have a rise in number of dogs being killed and did not have a rise in pit bull intake. It was the only one that had no visible pit bull problem. Now, at the time I did the survey, the Colorado state law had only been in effect for 2 months, so there had not yet been the opportunity for people to bring very many pit bulls into Denver. And apparently there still hasn't been, because with only 12 cases on the first day and six of those being owner surrenders.
Now, do you personally feel that the breed should be eliminated?
Exactly. It's a very artificially created breed. It's a breed that Randy Grimm in St. Louis works with the street dogs in the abandoned industrial areas of St. Louis.
Right. He's been a recent guest on our show.
You know Randy quite well.
Yes.
Known Randy for years, and you know, Randy is one of the best people in the field. Randy will tell you that when the pit bulls have been out on the streets for two generations, you will not recognize any trait of a pit bull. It's bred. The dogs themselves will select to breed out the qualities that turn dogs into good fighting dogs. Because it just doesn't work in the kind of social structure that a dog pack has to have. These are among the most highly artificial, genetically manipulated dogs out there. And if you look at the most natural animals out there, like the Asian street dogs, have been little changed since the dogs were first domesticated, some of the other fairly normal natural breeds, you won't find any of this explosive reactivity or any of the ability to kill or maim on the first bite. It's just something that's not functional.
We're running out of time here. We want to tell everybody that if you want to read more about this, there's a great article in this month's Animal People? Is that correct?
In both April and May.
And if somebody wants to pick up on the magazine, how can they do that?
Well, we'll send a free sample copy to anybody who contacts us. The articles will also be online at www.animalpeoplenews.org. And, of course, people can call for a sample, 360-579-2505.
And we'll put that phone number in as well as a link to animalpeoplenews.org from animalradio.com. So if you're driving around, you can get that information. You can get it right from the website. In fact, everything you've heard on the show today, you can get at animalradio.com. Merritt, we thank you for taking time, for being the great watchdog that you are, and for coming on the radio today.
Thank you.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at animalradio.com. Log on. Learn more.
Well, it goes without saying, Judy.
Yes, what's that?
Well,
you're going to have to say it.
Okay, I'm in radio.
Uh-huh.
Which means, obviously, I'm not an attorney.
Far from it.
Not that I haven't tried, but that bar exam that you take, that's a doozy.
Yes, so there was no diploma there.
No diploma there. And law school didn't work out, so neither did medical school.
No diploma. You know your diploma wall is blank.
I so dear wanted to look forward to perhaps a vocation in gynecology or something like that. I didn't know.
Let's not go there.
But I find myself behind this microphone as a DJ. One of the two vocations that I qualify for now, one of them being, of course, delivering pizza, the other being a DJ. We have who do we have on the phone with?
Me, Alan.
Yeah.
Salzberg.
Adam Salzberg.
Alan.
Yes, and I can get your wall full of diplomas.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Now, how can you do that?
By simply contacting Turtle University, Frog U, Snake U, and awarding you a master's in snakes.
Really?
Or turtles, or even bearded dragons.
Now, so you have it in with the Turtle University. Okay, so if I wanted to get a diploma from Turtle University, you would be the man that I would talk to about getting that diploma.
Yes, and, you don't even have to talk to me. You can just go to the website and fill in the necessary information to pass the test.
Oh, okay.
And you're
not just willy-nilly giving these away. You actually have to go through a test. I want people to understand that. Is that correct?
Yes. The test is basically can you pay the amount, put your name, and the date that you want to be awarded the diploma on.
I think he's going to need help.
Well, Judy can help me with that.
Yeah, he'll cheat on his test.
Okay. Make sure that he spells the name right.
Okay.
Is there one particular diploma over another diploma that I might want, that one that's more coveted to have on my wall?
I don't know. The one that's the most popular is turtles.
Okay.
Then there's a variation of that of sea turtles. Then there's the Iguana University.
Mm, I like
Snake
that.
Snake University.
Uh-huh.
Which some people like. Of course, you know the feelings about snakes, but there's two wonderful, on the snake diploma, there's two wonderful photos of a ball python there, bearded dragon, which are wonderful animals.
Now, I see you're doing mostly reptiles here. Why are you speciesist? do you only have connections in the reptile education genre?
Yes, I haven't yet. From a speciesist angle, I guess the only animal that I have been able to communicate understand fully is a turtle. I have two cats, and I've had them for maybe, you know, cats for most of my life. I'm 50, and I still have not been able to manage a level of communication and full understanding of what a cat is and what they need and that sort of thing.
Well, I understand that, you know, and I feel the same way about turtles or tortoises. I don't even know what the difference is between a turtle and a tortoise anyway.
Well, there is tortoises are all turtles, if you want it scientifically, but tortoise is a part of the turtle world, and the easiest way to tell the difference, well, tortoises are land only animals.
Mm.
And the easiest way to tell the difference is that their hind legs look exactly like an elephant's hind legs, like a stump and little toes around, little toenails around it.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's perfect for land, walking on land and stuff. And a turtle would be more flipper like for the water and stuff.
Oh, you know, I have a nephew who I think this would make a great gift for him, get one of the turtle diplomas, because he's really into turtles, and he has those, remember those little miniature turtles we all had?
The radio sliders, or green turtles, as people used to call them.
Yes, I had one as a child.
We all did.
Uh-huh.
It was a boomer pet.
Right.
Unfortunately, they're illegal. Not unfortunately, they're illegal. They're illegal because all turtles, reptiles and amphibians make great pets,
uh-huh.
But as opposed to cats and dogs, they are much more difficult because you can't just say, I got a turtle and I just can go to the store and get a can and that's it, and it's good for all types of cats, all types of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
There are like, at the latest count, 280 species of turtles, for example.
Wow.
1,000 species of geckos, and who knows, I mean, you know, iguanas is about 20, 30. But each one can have unique needs.
Dietary needs.
Dietary needs, habitat needs. They can't really, well, some can actually walk around your house and kind of share its stuff. But usually, you know, it's a tank. It's like a fish. They have to have a habitat.
Mm-hmm.
It's humidity, temperature, a special light. It's a sunlight that, you know, I mean, if you know people who have sad in the winter, they get depressed, it's the same light. It's a full spectrum light that they need all the time.
So there's a reason why they're illegal.
Well, the reason why they're illegal is because they carry salmonella.
Ooh.
All reptiles and amphibians carry salmonella.
Uh-huh.
And salmonella,
can't you just keep them away from your chicken?
Well, it's the same. It's sort of the same. It's not the same species as a chicken,
mm-hmm.
as a strain,
mm-hmm.
Same genus, but it has the same result.
Yeah. So don't eat
severe diarrhea, severe dehydration, and very quickly. If you're a healthy adult teenager, it makes no difference. I mean, it'll be just a you probably will just feel it like a stomach virus, or oh boy, I went to food poisoning or something. But if you're below 6, 7, you're elderly, and you know, elderly, I would say 60 or 70, you don't feel well. And now, since the law has been passed, a new category that's even more dangerous for people to have reptiles, amphibians, is people with immunodeficiency diseases or taking chemicals which reduce your antibiotics response.
You know what? Do you have a website with all this information? Because obviously you're much more informed than just somebody who's making diplomas. You obviously know a lot about reptiles, and we don't usually have reptile people on the show, so this is sort of a refreshing thing. What is your website?
Well, I have two websites. One is a nonprofit newsletter, e-zine as they call them now, called herpdigest.com, and herp as in herpetologist, and that goes all over the world, and you subscribe to that, and it's $36, and there's 104 issues. I do two a week, and that basically gives you all the latest conservation and science news. If you want background information like what I just told you, that everybody who asks me, and of course a lot of people ask me for, hey, how can I get one of those? Those are cool. Or parents who had little baby turtles and they want to get one for their kids.
Yes.
And then they say, well, I can't get them. Well, what for? The kids want them. My first reaction is read.
Yes. Yes.
Go not just on the net. Go find the books. Go find the natural history books first, because that will tell you what they need in the wild, which mm-hmm. you have to make, recreate in captivity.
In other words, it's not easy.
No.
No, it's not easy. Okay. And the other website...
Even though they're very popular pets, there's been a recent survey by the pet industry that 4.4 million households have on an average 2.3 reptiles and amphibians as pets.
And that's just the one that they know about.
Okay. They did a survey.
Alan, we're just about out of time. What's the other website that you have?
The website, which is herpart.com, you can get diplomas on there. You can get anything anything that has to do with reptiles and amphibians. We shop from all over the world in terms of everything from DVDs, I call the tchotchkes, bric-brac, I'm blanking out.
Okay, well, I'm definitely going to get one of these turtle diplomas, and we're going to go ahead and give one away to, I'll tell you what, the first big turtle lover who's finally happy to hear reptile talk on Animal Radio at 1-866-405-8405. That's 1-866-405-8405. You'll actually need to compile some information from these.
They have to send in their name.
Yes.
Who they want it. Some people... want to give it as a gift,
right?
Yes.
And the date that they want it to be awarded on, which otherwise we would just put the date that we're doing it.
Okay.
Some people like to do it like on an actual graduation date, or a birth date or something. Like
well,
that.
You can just do mine on any particular day, because I feel smarter
April
that
Fool's
day.
Day right?
April Fool. There you go.
Alan, we appreciate your time today. We think
my
what you're
pleasure.
Doing. Any time that we can find somebody that can make it a little extra buck out of doing something.
Thank you.
I got this dog, and I just moved in with my boyfriend, and Sheba was driving my boyfriend crazy. She was chewing on his shoes, tearing up the newspaper. She started chewing on the couch. My boyfriend was, telling me maybe I should get rid of the dog. He can't stand her anymore, and I really don't want to get rid of Sheba. I love her to death. And then my friend mentioned this new product called Comfort Zone, and she said that I should try it because it works really good. So went out and purchased it, tried it for a couple days, and wasn't sure if it was going to work or not, and noticed a few days later that it started working. And I went shopping, came home, seen him and Sheba asleep on the couch. At first, my boyfriend wanted me to get rid of the dog, but now it looks like I get to keep Sheba. Thanks to Comfort Zone, we all now get along really well.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
1-866-405-8405. Now, this next gentleman that we have on the phone is the Big Cheese at Canine Top Coat, Richard Lotz. Hey, Richard.
Hello, how you doing?
Doing well. What do you do at Canine Top Coat?
Well, I'm actually one of the co-owners and the co-founders of Canine Top Coat. We have a dog apparel company that sells quite a wide variety of apparel products, garments for dogs.
Where are you located?
We're actually in southern Oregon, near Ashland, Oregon.
Okay.
Now, these garments, are they just for looks, or do they have special features, or is there...
Well, actually, the garments are a combination of fashion and function. We have labored over the years to create garments that aren't just something that looks good, that you have your dog wear walking down the street, but also something that's very functional that serves a lot of purposes. Primarily, our garments were designed with specific functions in mind that have been adapted to do other sorts of functions and other tasks.
Well, what I like is I can go biking at night, and the one thing that I'm kind of scared of is when one of the dogs wants to go with me, my vision is so much diminished at that time, I'm afraid that one of them is going to get hit. And you have these very bright orange reflective garments of sorts. I guess you would call it a coat.
Actually, one of our reflective safety vests.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could probably see this for miles, I would imagine.
Yes, we actually have a reflective decal that is on the side of the garment. And it's also a bright orange color, so it can be used either day or night. And if you're out walking your dog or if you're riding or jogging, the garment fits to the dog very comfortably. It's a very lightweight, breathable material, so the dogs, there's no way they're going to overheat.
Yeah, I was wondering, doesn't that something like that make them kind of hot?
No, it doesn't, actually. The Lycra material that we use is very lightweight but very durable. We also had in order to answer some of those questions, we had the University of California Davis School of Veterinary Medicine do a heat stress study for us on our full body suits, Lycra body suits. And it showed that there was no difference with the dogs wearing the coats or not, even up to 90 degree temperatures. So,
wow.
Yeah, so the dogs can actually jog and run in the garments, and they're very comfortable because they fit very closely to the body and they've been designed specifically for dogs. The garments are ultra comfortable, so they can run, play, jump, and it's not going to hinder them in any way. And it won't overheat them, so it can be used day or night.
They come in other colors, too, other than that California Highway Patrol orange?
We actually have them in royal blue with the reflective decal, and we have them in black with the reflective decal.
Very cool. How much does something like this cost?
It depends upon the size that you're going to get. In the safety vest, specifically, we can fit dogs anywhere from about 8 to 10 pounds up to 170 pounds, and it runs anywhere from about $33 up to $50, depending upon the size.
How did you get started with this?
We actually started with the full Lycra bodysuit. We had a boy who was about 10 months old who came crawling across the room to us one day with a mouthful of fur because we had four dogs that were indoor-outdoor dogs, and we decided we needed something to control the shedding in the house. They do make Lycra garments for horses, which are for show horses, and we thought that we would adapt something to dogs. We started with one full Lycra bodysuit, and some of our show dog friends wanted it for their dogs because it helped keep the dogs clean, helped keep them drier. We also had some veterinarians that wanted to use them for veterinary purposes, such as dogs with allergies or dogs that had had surgery or wounds. And since then, we have just been using, we've had more and more uses asked of us, and we've created garments that have performed those uses, everything from our Arctic fleece bodysuit right up to our waterproof outdoor bodysuit, and we're going to be developing some ultra-rugged, top-of-the-line outdoor products this coming fall also.
Now, these are all washable?
They're all washable. You can put them in the laundry. We usually ask people to use cold water, and then they can either line dry it or they can just pop it in the dryer under low temperature. They're very easy to care for.
So you got a website. It's caninetopcoat.com. What are we going to find there?
you're going to find just about anything that you could want to know about our products. We've designed a very user-friendly site so that if you go to the website, you can be able to either email us questions, which we're happy to answer, or you can find out just about anything that you need to know about our products. We also have a very integrative system. One of the challenges of any type of pet product is finding the correct size. And we actually have a very specific program that we have developed called a custom sizer, which allows you to put in some measurements from your dog, and the sizer will actually pick the best size for your dog. So it takes a bit of the guesswork out of trying to know which size is the best for you.
And we're going to give a couple away, and whoever wins is you're going to actually size their dog. Is that correct?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay. So if you have I guess you do it in poundage, 10 to 25 pounds, 26 to 40, 41 to 55, 56 to 75, 76 to 90. And
for the safety vest, can use a approximate weight and get a fairly good guess as to which would be the best size. The best way to do it actually is to get a girth measurement, which you measure all the way around the body just behind the front legs. And that's the most precise way to do it. We've been doing this long enough that we could probably guess with a body weight, but we prefer to get the measurements if we can.
Okay, beautiful.
Very good.
If you're one of those that are like me, would like to do those late-night bike rides or late-night runs and want to take one of the dogs with you and kind of fear for their safety, why don't you give us a call right now, 1-866-405-8405, 1-866-405-8405. We'll give away two. And then head on over to the website, which is caninetopcoat.com, or you can call them toll-free, 888-833-5959. That's 888-833-5959. We'll put all this information at the animalradio.com website.
You're running out of breath over
yeah,
there.
You know that other website. Richard, we appreciate you taking time to visit with us today, and we appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, we very much appreciate you taking the time to give us a call.
Thank you very much.
There's more Animal Radio on the way. Good stuff for great pets. Stick around.
This is Animal Radio
Network.
Welcome to Voice of the Animal. My mom is a Southerner. She's from the red earth and green fields of rural Alabama. Although I'm a native Californian, when you have a Southern mom, you really are born with a Southern sensibility. And that comes out in a lot of different ways. First of all, if you have a porch, it's going to have a porch swing. Secondly, the all-time best beverage in the world is sweet tea. And despite some companies' noble attempts to distribute sweet tea in a can, it is but a poor imitation of the real thing. Brewed Lipton with the sugar added while hot, then poured over ice into a pale pink hobnailed glass. And thirdly, if you're going to have a favorite bird, it has got to be the mockingbird. The mockingbird can be found throughout the United States and in southern Canada, but its true association is with the South. It is so popular that five southern states claim it as the state bird: Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Florida, and Texas. This is one bird that has thrived with the expansion of the human population. Mockingbirds love the wide expanse of green lawn and cultivated hedges of southern living, while they are equally happy in the pyracantha and fruit trees of California. The mockingbird is not a showcase bird like the cardinal or oriole, but he's a good-looking bird with a brisk strut that boasts an unassuming self-confidence. If you were a person, you'd want to hang around with him. And when he flies, that flash of white stripe against the gray of his wings is a moment of pure grace. But it's his song for which he's famous. Mockingbirds can sing from 50 to 200 songs, while one expert recorded as many as 400 songs by one mocker. That makes him the avian equivalent of an iPod. His Latin name is Mimus polyglottos, which means many-tongued mimic, because mockingbirds have been known to mimic absolutely anything. Not only all the birds in their area, but alarm clocks, car motors, crickets, frogs, sirens, the pool filter. The mocker at Mom's house mimics a cat's meow, which will usually necessitate her running out to the backyard to check on the kitties whenever he performs that selection from his songbook. Since mockers don't migrate, this has become a running gag for both Mom and this bird. And why does the mockingbird sing? As one expert explained, the mockingbird's song is equivalent to the peacock's tail. In other words, it is his best asset in attracting a mate. The more songs a male mocker knows, the better chance he has of wooing a single female, because she will realize that all those songs mean this guy's been around a while and probably has established a good territory with lots of food. Worldliness is an essential quality in her man, since it is he who will build the nest and provide most of the food for their offspring. And woe to anyone who comes anywhere near a mockingbird's turf while the babies are still in the nest. The parents' aerial tactics of warfare have been known to keep even mailmen from their appointed rounds. In the 18th and 19th centuries, mockingbird song was so in demand that caged mockingbirds became bestsellers. Thomas Jefferson even kept one as a pet at Monticello. But the bird's gift of song almost became his undoing, as the market for mockers became so large, it almost resulted in his extinction in larger cities. Fortunately, that fad passed, and now he is free to share his music on a less restricted stage. When Atticus tells Scout that it is a sin to kill a mockingbird, she's intrigued, as she has never heard Atticus say it was a sin to do something. Their neighbor, Miss Maudie, explains to Scout that your father is right. Mockingbirds don't do one thing but make music for us to enjoy. They don't do one thing but sing their hearts out for us. Harper Lee said her classic novel, To Kill a Mockingbird, in her native state of Alabama. And I'll just bet that while she was writing it, she was sitting on a porch swing drinking sweet tea, listening to a mockingbird. Visit us on the World Wide Web at voiceoftheanimal.org. For Voice of the Animal, this is Mary Lou Stewart's daughter, Rayanne Cumulos.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness
from all across the globe.
This is Animal Radio Network.
Wake you up? Did I wake you up there?
No, I'm wide awake here. That was interesting.
This news will wake you up.
What's that?
The Animal Radio Network No Name Giveaway, and that should wake you up because you came up with a name. And
I didn't. How can I come up with a name?
There contention.
Is no, there is no name. I didn't come up with a name.
Okay, it's the Animal Radio Network No Name Giveaway.
And what does it include?
Well, Johnny, I wish you could see this, and I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a picture on the webcam so that you can see it. We have a 6 or 7 story condo. It's a cat condo, and it's actually just a demo for us. We'll keep this one in the studio, but you, the winner, will pick up one of these.
For your very own.
Also, a Bissell Spot Lifter Power Brush.
Something for every pet. Must for every pet owner.
You know, if you have especially one of those cats that sometimes doesn't want to use the litter box, is a rebellious cat, then this is the perfect item. And this is just the beginning. This is the beginning. Every week, we're going to add something new.
Every month.
Every month.
Once, every month, we're going to add.
You're like shaking your head.
Yeah,
no.
Not every week.
That's because it's going through September.
Yes. But so every month, we'll add a big item to the package.
Qualifiers from every city.
There you go.
Was I right there? Qualifiers from every city now through September. 1-866-405-8405. We'll have all kinds of different ways for you to qualify. And one of the ways that you can qualify
is to turn in your inkjet cartridges.
Get us 6 inkjet cartridges. You're going to throw them away anyway, right? For every 6 that you turn in, we'll get you qualified for the Animal Radio Network No Name Giveaway.
And you can also contact us for a prepaid envelope. We'll send you a prepaid envelope where you can mail those back to us, so it'll be at no cost.
You mean the cartridges?
The cartridges, yes.
So I don't even need to put a stamp on an envelope for the cartridges.
No, contact us and we'll send you a prepaid envelope. You can mail them right back to us.
So get this. You have your inkjet cartridges, you have your laser cartridges, you have your old cell phones.
Why throw them away and have them just end up in the landfill? Send them to us. We turn them into cash to continue this great education program on Animal Radio. It also helps fund mega adoptions and all our different events throughout the year.
1-866-405-8405. We'll mail one of those envelopes to you, and then you could mail those cartridges back to us free of charge right here on Animal Radio.
Preventing pain, fear, and suffering of animals through nationwide education and awareness.
From all across the globe,
this is Animal Radio Network.
What's that address if somebody wants to send cartridges in?
They can send it to P.O. Box 129, Kanab, Utah, K-A-N-A-B, Utah, 84741.
But the good thing is, of course, we can send you one of those postage paid envelopes.
Yes, and it'll already be addressed and stamped and prepaid. So
ready to go.
Yes.
On the phone we have Mary Daniels.
Mary Daniels.
From Train, T-R-A-I-N. I'll let her say what that's all about. Hi, Mary.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
What do you do for Train?
Well, I'm actually the president, and I'm the transport coordinator.
Okay, tell everyone what the Train acronym stands for.
It's Transporting and Rescuing Animals in Need.
Okay, it sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Well, we basically, we take animals that are located in high-kill shelters, and we transport them to rescues or forever homes.
Oh.
And help get them to safety.
Now, is that all over the United States?
Well, I basically set up transports for the eastern United States, but there's a lot of coordinators located across the United States.
Oh, so if there's a particular animal that doesn't really have a good chance of being rescued in one area, you might take it and move it to another area?
Absolutely.
Now, when you move it, does it already have a home, or are you just taking it to another foster home?
Both.
Both? Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, it's either going to an approved home or an approved rescue, one of the two.
Okay.
Wow.
I know there's a few organizations like this, bigger and smaller, that are doing what you're doing. I imagine you're doing this mostly by motor vehicle?
Yes. It's all volunteer, and the way that I set mine up is it's just actually a string of volunteers that drive 60 to 75 miles each.
Oh, wow.
And they just actually meet each other and, you know, transfer the dogs from one person to the other.
So let's say your average transfer, how many drivers would there be involved?
Well, an average one for me is about 10 legs.
Wow.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Give me a hypothetical situation going from where to where.
Well, I do a lot from Kentucky to Illinois.
Okay.
That's a typical route for me.
How far is that?
I would say, I believe it's like 350 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And so there might be 10 different drivers?
Yeah, there's about 10 drivers.
Okay.
In that. So, yeah, they drive about... On that route, I usually have them do about 65 miles each.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, it's not too long of a leg.
Now, how busy are you being kept by this?
I do it every single weekend.
Yeah.
And sometimes I will be doing two or three a weekend.
Yourself?
Yes.
Wow.
So there's always a demand.
Yeah.
Because there's always animals in need. So.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody wanted to become a part of your network and they wanted to be able to drive, say, 60, 70 miles on a weekend to help you accomplish getting an animal from one place to another, how might they get in touch with you? What might they do?
Well, our group, of course, is called Train. Our group is located on Yahoo Group.
Okay.
But there is groups, like I said, there's groups for every state. They can go to Yahoo Groups on the internet and type in like animal transport or pet transport and even type in their state, and it'll bring up several listings. Mm-hmm. And they can read about the group and, you know, join. And if it's something that they feel like they would want to get involved in, you know, that would be absolutely wonderful, because, you know, drivers are needed and so many animals are in need.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you do any kind of screening? Have you ever had an instance where someone didn't show up with the dog or kept the dog themselves? Or?
I have had that happen a couple of times where
really?
A driver didn't show up. And usually what we do in that situation is the driver on each end of that leg will just split it, and they'll just kind of meet in the middle.
Uh-huh.
But I've only had that happen a couple of times. So most of these people that do this are very dedicated to it. And, you know, they know that these animals...
they don't fall in love with the dog during the trip and want to take him home themselves?
Yes, that does happen a lot, too. And we've actually had a lot of the drivers adopt some of the dogs that they transport.
Well, good. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, so which is a happy ending, too. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
What about money? You guys need money to do this? Obviously, gas money.
Well... I'm sure, I mean, these groups that work with this, like we take donations, usually what we do donations for is we actually purchase, like we'll purchase harnesses or stuff like that we use, and we do donate it to some of the transporters just to help them out as far as transporting the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we use it for dog food and stuff that we need, you know, for the animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, there's always money needed as far as taking care of the animals.
I imagine somebody could go to your Pet Finder website, which is petfinder.com/shelters/ky176.html, which we will go ahead and we'll put a link from the animalradio.com site.
Yes, that's the train Pet Finder side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then our Yahoo group can be found by going to Yahoo groups, and it's train transport and rescue.
And we'll also put a link from animalradio.com.
Yes,
since these are some long links.
Yes, they are. Yes, and there's transports listed on there, going everywhere. So yeah, if people would want to join, you know, we would absolutely love to have them. And like I said, there's so many animals out there that are in need, you know, and so many transports needing drivers.
I got to say, I just love the accents of these.
Well, thank you.
Mary Daniels of Train Transporting and Rescue Animals in Need, the President and Transport Coordinator. Thanks for coming on Animal Radio today.
I appreciate it, and it's been wonderful talking to you all.
Okay, before we go, we have 1 minute left. I want to thank KTTR in Roller, Missouri for joining the Animal Radio Network.
Woohoo!
Now bring it to upwards of 100 affiliates. Also, a second hour at KOWL, K-Owl, in South Lake Tahoe. They've added another hour. They actually air 3 hours now, so thanks so much for bringing us on. Remember, if you get an animal this week, to spay or neuter
your pet.
It's so simple. Do one or the other. The doctor will tell you which one to do. And if you want a certain breed, don't go to a breed rescue. There are breed shelter rescues. Don't go to a puppy mill or anything like that. Don't buy.
Store. No.
Okay? Just go online, Google it. We will see you next week. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.